From Spark and Anvil and Bioforge, this is Bellows in Chapter 1 of the Bioforge cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5.
At the far end of the running field in Bioforge, a bat-tween named Bellows lay flat on his back in the grass, breathing like a bellows for the fire. He had just chased a rolling ball the whole length of the field and lost. His wide wings were spread out, his round chest heaving, and the air went in and out of him so hard you could almost hear it. Ha! Hoo! Ha! A younger kid jogged over, worried. "Are you okay? You're breathing so loud."
"I'm okay," Bellows puffed. "I'm just catching up."
He held up one furry finger, asking for a second, and kept breathing. Slowly, the ha got softer. His chest stopped heaving. His breath went quiet again, the kind you forget you're even doing. "There," he said, sitting up. "All caught up."
"Caught up on what?"
"Air," Bellows grinned. "When I ran, my body burned through the good stuff in every breath faster than I could pull it in. So it made me breathe harder, big, loud gulps, until the swap caught up." He tapped his own chest. "In goes the fresh air, out goes the used air. Every single breath does that little trade. When you run, you just need the trade to happen way, way faster."
Bellows hadn't always trusted his own breath. When he was small, he'd had a night where he couldn't seem to get enough air. His chest felt tight, his breaths came short and quick, and the more he noticed it, the worse it got. "Something's wrong with me," he thought, curling up. "My breathing is broken. What if it just stops?" His aunt had folded a wing over him, an old bat with a low, calm voice, and she hadn't told him to relax. She just laid her hand flat on his belly. "Feel my hand there?" she said. "I want you to push it up. Just push my hand up with your belly. Slow." He tried. A big muscle low in his middle pulled down, made room, and air came in. A real full breath. His aunt's hand rose. "Now let it fall," she said. It fell. Another breath came. "That muscle is called your diaphragm," she said quietly into the dark. "It's a pump. It's been pumping air into you your whole life, even asleep, even when you forgot about it. It didn't break tonight. It just got scared and hurried, same as you." She let him feel a few more slow ones. "Nothing's wrong with the machine. We're only slowing it back down." Bellows breathed against her hand until the tightness let go. The scared, short, can't get enough feeling had a shape now. It was just the pump running fast and frightened. Somehow knowing that, he could sit with it. He walked to Bioforge at 12, because a place that studied the body ought to understand the part of it that never, ever stopped. Dr. Merrow, the old mentor who ran the anatomy workshops, met him at the door. She didn't ask him to prove he was strong. She asked one thing. "What do your lungs actually do in there?" Bellows didn't answer with a definition. He pulled a small pink model from his vest pocket. It looked like a tiny tree branch, hung with clusters of grape-shaped sacs, and held it up so she could see the little bunches. "They trade," he said. "In here." He touched the tiny sacs. "These are alveoli. There are hundreds of millions of them. Way too small to see. Air comes down and fills them, and the fresh part of the air, oxygen, slips straight through the thin wall into the blood, quiet as anything. And the used part the blood's carrying, carbon dioxide, slips back the other way, into the sacs, and gets breathed out." He mimed a soft whoosh. "Fresh in, used out. Millions of tiny trades, every breath, all day, all night." Dr. Merrow looked at the little pink model for a long moment. "You belong here," she said.
Bellows's workshop was full of kids learning to trust the pump inside them. A girl came in one afternoon, hunched and quiet. I don't have big lungs, she said. I'm not skinny like the fast runners, so I figured mine must be small, not as good.
Bellows set his model down. He knew that hunch. Put your hand here, he said, laying his own palm flat on his round belly. She copied it on hers. Now breathe in, slow, and push your hand out. She did. Her hand rose. Feel that muscle pulling down, making room?
Yeah.
That's your diaphragm. It just filled you right up. He tilted his head at her. Did that breath feel small? She thought.
No, it felt normal.
Big, even.
Right,
because lung capacity isn't about body shape, not one bit. It doesn't care if you're round or lean or anything in between. He tapped his own soft, strong chest, unbothered. My lungs work great. Yours work great. Skinny lungs, chunky lungs, there's no such thing. There's just alveoli, doing the trade in every kind of body there is. He grinned. You breathe about 12 to 20 times a minute right now, resting. Chase a ball and it'll climb. Same lungs either way. Yours are amazing exactly as they are. She sat up a little straighter and took a breath, a real full one, just to feel it.
Later, when the workshop had emptied, the girl came back with one more question. She was quieter now. When it's just happening on its own, she said, and I'm not even thinking about it, how do I know it's really working in there? Bellows thought about the night with his aunt's hand on his belly. You feel it, he said. That's the honest answer. Lay a hand low on your middle and go still, and you'll feel the rise and the fall. That slow, steady, on its own feeling, like something patient taking care of you without being asked. He looked out the window toward the running field. That's the trade happening. Fresh coming in, used going out. Over and over, whether you notice or not. It kept going while you slept last night. It'll keep going while you forget about it tomorrow. He smiled at her. The blood carries all that fresh air off to the rest of you. That's pump's job, the heart. And learning to slow it down on purpose when you're scared, the way my aunt showed me. Breath teaches that one. But the trade itself? That quiet in and out? He put his own hand on his chest. That's just yours. It's been keeping you the whole time. The girl breathed slow, and Bellows watched the worry lift off her shoulders. The same way, years ago, in the dark, his had.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Bellows. Released under Creative Commons BYNCSA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.